Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 through 17. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, they were bringing to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This fellow blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. But when the multitudes saw this, they were filled with awe and glorified God, who had given such authority to men. And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And it happened that as he was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax gatherers and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts on a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Nor do men put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning, and we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 9, we again see the authority of Jesus. And in this passage that we read today, from the passage in the beginning, from verse 1 to verse 8, we see that Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sins, right? So that's one other aspect of his authority. Yesterday we looked at his authority over sickness, right? We saw his authority over sickness, and we saw his authority over nature, right? And we saw his authority over demonic forces. And today we see that Jesus has authority to forgive sins, right? He has authority over sin in our lives. And in the second passage from verse 9 to verse 17, I believe one of the things that we can see is that Jesus has authority over the law, right? You know, Jesus says, "I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law." And the way Jesus was able to look at the law and interpret the law was beyond what the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers of that time could see, because all they could see was the letter of the law, right? They saw what they read, and they interpreted it, and then they said, "You need to do it this way exact, or that's it." But, you know, Jesus came, and he could see the spirit of the law. He could see the heart of God behind the law, and he had authority to say to these people that so held on to a tradition of fasting and said, "No, that's not how it is." You know, and he was able to look at the Pharisees. That was basically they were shunning the sinners and the tax gatherers. And Jesus says, "No, you've missed the point. I desire compassion and not sacrifice," right? So I believe you see Jesus has authority over the law. But so those two things. But let's go back to the first passage from verse 1 to verse 8. You know, there's a paralytic, which is a famous story, right? The paralytic, he can't move, obviously, so his friends bring him to the house where Jesus is, and they can't get into the house because there's a crowd gathering, so they can't get through the door. So what they do is they tear down the roof, basically. They make a hole, make an opening in the roof, and they lower him down, and Jesus sees their faith. And it would make so much sense for Jesus to say, you know, I see your faith, so get up and walk. You know, you're healed because of your faith. But instead of saying that, he says, take courage, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Take courage, my son. Your sins are forgiven. And it's totally, when I read it, I'm like, that's so unrelated. You know, why would Jesus be saying it? But then I got to thinking about the passage, and I thought, you know, maybe the paralytic came, you know, and for us, we see like the immediate need, which is the physical need of his sickness. But Jesus, maybe with the help of the Holy Spirit giving him a word of knowledge kind of thing, maybe saw that in the heart of the paralytic, he just really felt guilty, you know? I mean, a lot of us walk around feeling quite guilty, right? Quite shameful of what we've done, of our heart, our attitude. And maybe Jesus is able to see beyond what was in the physical and see that what this guy really needed to hear from Jesus, even more than physical healing, was that his sins were forgiven, that his shame and his guilt could be taken away. And what's interesting here is, you know, Jesus says, take courage, you know, take courage. Does it say? Yeah, my son, right? Take courage, my son. Your sins are forgiven. And that's really the passage I want us to meditate upon today. You know, take courage, my son. Take courage, my daughter. Your sins are forgiven. We all know what it feels like to be forgiven, right? We all know what it feels like to be guilty of something and to have that fear. Because when we are guilty and we have that, and when we know that we have sinned, we have shame, right? And we have fear. Like amongst friends, you know, if you did something wrong, like you told a secret to someone else that you shouldn't have told or something, you really have to go and you have to confess. Really, you say, hey, I do it with my BI, my accountability brothers. Right? I'll say, hey, I got something to say. And I know that my brothers love me in Jesus Christ, right? But even so, I get so afraid. I'm like, what are they going to say? What if they get so disappointed in me? What if this happens? What if that happens? But I have to go and I make a confession, and then they say, you know, it's okay. You know, they always say, dude, don't worry about it. You know, you're forgiven. And I'm sure you've all experienced it when someone else forgives you of your little trespass, and you feel that relief, the joy. And that's what forgiveness does. You know, once we feel the forgiveness of God, once we receive the forgiveness of God, then we have courage. Right? There's a passage in 1 John. I should have looked it up. I just thought of it now. But it says, you know, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence, basically, to go before God and to pray for what we want or what we need. You know, if our hearts do not condemn us, you know, if we know that we are forgiven, and if we know that we are clean, then we have confidence to go into the presence of God. Whereas if you know that you're living in sin, or if you feel the guilt or the shame, the fear, then we can't do that. And you know, the forgiveness of Jesus is not based on a whim, right? He's not just saying, well, I like you. You know, I like this guy, so your sins are forgiven. It's not like that. His forgiveness is based upon his sacrifice on the cross, right? God can't just take a sinner and wipe away his sins just because he's God, because he's put into the world, I guess, the law, right? The justice. So it's required for a sinner to be punished for his sins. So instead of just on a whim saying, well, I like you, so you know, forget about your sins, don't worry about it, he's saying, I like you, I really love you, and I want to wipe away your sins. Therefore, to do that, I'm going to, you know, come. basically. And I'm going to bear your sin and I'm going to die on the cross. And it's, his forgiveness is not just a... It's, you know, what do they say? Forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap, right? It cost him his life. It cost him his separation from the Father. And I think we have to remember that, you know, when we talk about the forgiveness of God and the love of God, that the love of God is not just a feeling like, oh, I feel so loved by God, you know, I feel good on the inside. But his love of God is demonstrated by what he did on the cross, you know, that he gave his life as a sacrifice for us. And we always remember that, you know. And so that's the forgiveness part. That's the first part. And then in the second part, we see Jesus having authority over law. And the Pharisees are basically coming to him and saying, Jesus, you know, how come you're spending time? Well, he doesn't even say it to Jesus, but they're just thinking it. He's saying, you know, how come this guy is eating with sinners and tax gatherers and all the, basically the people that they shunned in that society? And Jesus says to them, right? It is not for those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And I think this is this teaches us kind of what our response should be. Once we experience the forgiveness of God for ourselves, we need to do that first of all, right? We can't be living in fear and guilt and shame and the law. But once they experience God's grace that says, you know, my beloved daughter, my beloved son, your sins are forgiven, then we need to extend that grace to others. You know, others in this church that you have been hurt by, others in this church that you just look at them and you're like, I can't believe, you know, their life. I can't believe the way they're living their life, and I can't believe, you know, what they did, you know. And so easy for us to, instead of extending grace, so easy for us to judge, right? And talk behind their backs and gossip and tell someone else, you know, what that person did. But that's not what Jesus desires. He desires compassion. He desires us to look beyond that person's actions, maybe. Look beyond their problems and look at the person that is made in his image, right? And look at the beauty and the wonder, I guess, of that individual, just because he is created in the image of God. And so he wants us to extend grace to others and also help them know that they are forgiven, right? Help them know that they're forgiven, not just by God, but also from, you know, by us, you know, that we extend forgiveness and grace to them. So those two things I wanted to mainly focus on. Let's close our eyes. Samantha is going to come lead us in a song of worship. But first of all, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and say, take courage, my son. You know, take courage, my daughter. Your sins are forgiven. And if there is anything that we're struggling with to this morning, you know, any part of you that's really feeling the shame, the guilt, it could be anything, right? It could be the littlest thing, but the enemy can get a hold of that, and our own hearts can get a hold of that and really feel shameful, really feel guilty. And there is nothing too insignificant for God. So let's just bring it before him and say, God, you know, I'm so sorry. And experience the Holy Spirit saying to us, you know, take courage. Your sins are forgiven. And then, secondly, if you can think of anyone in our church or even in your work, maybe just in your community, that needs some grace extended to them, that needs forgiveness extended to them, it's really in light of what God has done for us that we can forgive and we can show grace to others. So let's just meditate upon that. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for just the members of our church that might be struggling in their faith and in their walk with God and in the area of sin and feeling guilty or feeling ashamed, maybe to come back to church or to confess and to let others into their lives. Let's just pray for our church community. Let's pray that God would draw them back to church. Let's pray that they would experience God's forgiveness. Let's pray that they would feel the forgiveness of God, and also that we as a community will be able to extend grace to them and really show the love of God and the grace of God to them. So let's pray for our community. If you know anyone that's struggling with their faith, let's pray together. Let's pray for our house churches that's meeting today. There's Robinson Road House Church, myself and Leanne. McDaddy House Church with Kenny and Janie. Causeway Bay House Church with Angela and Carmen. Tregunter House Church with Tom and Charles. And Kowloon House Church with Karen and John Kang. So let's just pray for the house church's meeting tonight. Let's pray that it will just be a really good time of gathering and worshiping God together. So let's just pray for our house church meetings. Let's pray for our missions focus. Let's pray for the Southeast Asian countries that we go to sometimes. Cambodia is one, and let's pray for New Life Church in Phnom Penh. That's the church that we go to. Let's pray just for their church and especially for their worship ministry. Tony is the worship pastor there, so let's pray for him as he gets ready for the worship conference. Let's pray for our sister Rachel Wurlick, who is in Thailand, working with YWAM and doing video stuff to really take the gospel to unreached people groups. Let's pray for Rachel and her ministry. Let's pray for the Philippines with Jihei's father, who is there and will probably go back this year. And just pray for the ministries that he's involved with, you know, mostly the leper colonies. And if you were with us in the Philippines, please remember, you know, the two places that we went to, and let's pray that God would really bless them. And also Indonesia, we'll be going back to, or going to Indonesia on a mission trip this year, this summer, and it's through our Indonesian pastor, Pastor Salamat. So let's pray for that trip, that it'll be a wonderful time. And let's also lift up the Febe ministry that's upstairs on the 13th floor, that God would really bless them and use them to bring the gospel to the Indonesian community here in Hong Kong. So let's pray for those four things. Let's pray for our church, our building search. Let's pray that God would lead us and help us find the most perfect building for us. So let's pray for our building search. Father God, thank you, Lord. We thank you that you hear our prayers. This morning, help us to really pray and just come before you to pour out our hearts before you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have authority to forgive our sins, God, and that you paid the price. You showed us your willingness to forgive our sins by dying for us on the cross. And so, Lord, help us just to come before you and experience the grace that you have for us. And help us as a church, as a community, to extend grace, God, and to forgive others and to bring them back into the family of God, whenever we can, whenever we have the opportunity. And watch over us today. I just pray your blessing over each and every person. Protect them as they, go about their day, as they fly and travel. I just pray that you'll protect them and just that your presence would be with them throughout their day. So we thank you, Lord, and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.